John Stuart Mill wanted cheerful music, and it seemed to act as a tonic for him. But Lesser and I, both dealing with the loss of a beloved figure, had very different needs and a very different experience with music. It is not coincidental that the music, which released our grief and allowed emotion to flow again, was a requiem in Lesser's case and a lamentation in my own. This was music designed for occasions of loss and death, the only sort of music, perhaps, which could speak to our condition. The psychiatrist Alexander Stein has described his experience of 9/11. He lived opposite the World Trade Center, and he saw it hit, watched it crumple, and was caught up in the terrified crowds fleeing down the street, not knowing whether his wife was alive or dead. He and his wife were homeless refugees for the next 3 months. During this time, he writes, "My internal world was dominated by a dense and silent pall, as if an entire mode of existence were in an airless vacuum. Music, even the usual internal listening of especially beloved works, had been muted. Paradoxically, life in the auditory sphere was in other respects heightened immeasurably, but calibrated, so it seemed, to a narrow spectrum of sounds. My ears now were attuned more to the roar of fighter jets and the wail of sirens, to my patience, to my wife's breathing at night." It was only after several months, he writes, that music finally returned as a part of life for and in me, and the piece he first heard internally was Bach's Goldberg Variations. On the recent fifth anniversary of September 11th, on my morning bike ride to Battery Park, I heard music as I approached the tip of Manhattan, and then saw and joined a silent crowd, who sat gazing out to sea and listening to a young man playing Bach's Chaconne in D on his violin. When the music ended and the crowd quietly dispersed, it was clear that the music had brought them some profound consolation in a way that no words could ever have done. Music, uniquely among the arts, is both completely abstract and profoundly emotional. It has no power to represent anything particular or external, but it has a unique power to express inner states or feelings. Music can pierce the heart directly. It needs no mediation. One does not have to know anything about Dido and Aeneas to be moved by her lament for him. Anyone who has ever lost someone knows what Dido is expressing, and there is, finally, a deep and mysterious paradox here. For while such music makes one experience pain and grief more intensely, it brings solace and consolation at the same time.